You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Amina was born into an entrepreneurial family, and learning the basics of business wasn't taught, but infused through everyday life. Not her first business, Amina now owns an Alabache franchise in Australia, and it's thriving under her clear commitment to delivering impeccable service. While also raising four happy, healthy kids, her secret to success not only includes a healthy dose of hard work, but mostly an attitude of not letting fear get in her way or slow her down. Amina, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thanks, Larissa. It's a pleasure.
Now, you are a franchisee owner of the Alabache brand in, you're a new farm, Australia, Brisbane,
yes,
Australia.
Yes.
So, look, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about how did you get to be a business owner, your background, and what brings you to this point today?
Okay. I think business is in my blood. I come from a migrant family. We migrated to Australia more than 30 years ago from South Africa. And my father's family were very much into big business. So they were in the hardware business. In fact, they're still in the hardware business over in South Africa. So when we came to Australia, Dad naturally went into business again. And I grew up, you know, behind a shop counter. And I think I learnt business very organically. So things like, you know, organising yourself in the beginning of the day, tilling up at the end of the day, balancing the till, all that sort of thing, I didn't have to teach myself. I just learnt it as I grew up, because our family was in business. So sometimes I get a bit frustrated because I have to teach that to my staff. But so there's a lot of things that I sort of overlook, because I think over time, as I've grown up, has been instilled in me. And that's my work ethic as well. I saw my parents work really hard, and they prospered. They did well, and it just seems like the natural thing to do for me. So I just naturally progressed. I did go to university. I studied a degree in advanced communications. I also did a diploma of commercial radio broadcasting. I worked in radio for a little while, and I travelled a lot, and I got married. So the rest is history, I guess. But, you know, it's not the end of your story. I had four kids, and my husband's an engineer. I built a business when we lived in Victoria. He worked for Ford, and I was a stay-at-home mum for a bit, and then I got bored. So I opened a business, as you do.
Yeah.
You know, it was a wholesale business in the medical industry, and I started from scratch. And within 9 months, I had 50 clients, and the business, I sold it on probably in its 14th month, because I fell pregnant with my third child.
Yeah.
And I managed to sell it. So it was a lot of hard work. I did a lot of, I guess, repping, you would call it. Called on a lot of clients, drove around the whole of Victoria. But, you know, anything's possible if you put your mind to it. And then when I came back to Queensland, I had another baby, and I was again bored. So I did some online businesses, mainly eBay, because that was the go prior to the GFC. And I did really well. I did extremely well. I sold baby goods online, and that, you know, I think I kind of shocked my husband a little bit with that as well, because, you know, not many people understood the power of eBay back then.
Yeah.
I'm talking 2004 and 2006. yeah, then I had a little bit of a break from business, went and worked for a company for a bit. And yeah, and then, you know, 3 years ago, I found this opportunity and dived right in because my sister had a salon 20 years ago. I understood the industry and I felt like that's the industry that I wanted to go back into. So yeah, I just dove straight in.
So four kids later and one beauty salon. It's been 3 years now, right?
Yes, we're 3 years old.
Great. So tell us a little bit about the business. What does the business look like now? How many in your team?
So needless to say, anybody in the salon, whether it's hair or beauty, will understand that staff are a major issue. So we have gone through a few staff. But at the moment, I feel like we've got a very good team. We gel really well. We're all in the same sort of headspace, and I think like attracts like. So we're all very similar in the way we think, and not so much operate, but think. We think the same way. We all have the same work ethic. All the girls that I've got are very trainable, so they're willing to learn, and I think that's what's helped me. Because while I love my staff's input, I know what I want. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, sometimes I'm a little bit bossy, but I'm, you know, this is what I want, girls. This is how we're going to do it. And, let's do it. And, you know, I don't get a lot of, pushback. So I think that's been the key to where I am at the moment. I've got three girls on at the moment and myself. I work on the floor 3 days a week and, on the business, more than 2 days because I'm up till late, quite late some nights.
Yeah.
But, so I kind of do all the marketing and drive the business side of things. But I also have clients that I see because I retrained as a brow artist and a lash artist.
Right.
Which I thoroughly enjoy.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at the moment.
Now, I think you said something really key, really important, actually, that I just want to touch on, because you said you have a team, because team is, I think, in my experience, it's the number one issue that keeps people up at night, you know.
Yeah.
So you said something really interesting, that you've got a team that think alike, not necessarily operate alike. And I'm a big believer in diversity in your team. I think it's really important. It brings flavour and culture to your business, and it allows you to service lots of different clients. But I think you really pinpointed it was that you all have a work ethic, or you think alike on that side of things, and that's what helps you pull together. And I think that's got to be the right combination, you know, because you don't want a team of people that just do all the robots that are just doing the same. You need some diversity and you need a little bit of difference, but there needs to be some common thinking and commonality in the mindset or the work ethic. Would that be a fair comment?
Very fair. And being in the service industry, you know, you need people with personality. I had a girl that I hired straight out of college, and she was very timid, but she was extremely intelligent. She knew her stuff. Her product knowledge was amazing. She gave a great facial, but she was as timid as a mouse. And she was costing me more money than what she was bringing into the salon, and I had to let her go. And not after trying. It took, I think, after 12 months of me really persevering with giving her retail training and getting her to really try to open up with clients, and it just wasn't going anywhere, and I had to let her go. And I thought, what a waste. She's in the wrong industry. She can't be in this industry. She needs to find an industry that doesn't require personality. Because you have to create a rapport with your clients, and you have to be able to talk to them and joke with them and laugh with them and make them feel comfortable, and then they open up to you and you're able to actually treat them. And then that's the value to your business. And I think once my girls got, I mean, most of them had good, the ones that I've got now have great personalities, and they're not egotistical in any way. And I think that's also another thing that's really difficult when it comes to staff. There are those staff that, you know, they're brilliant at what they do, but they're really egotistical and they think the best. And that can throw clients offside. It can create ridges within your staff, your team. So it is such a fine line, and no one gives you the training on how to pull your team together. You sort of have to, I don't know, somehow just figure it out. That's what I did. I just figured it out. I thought, you know, this person's has got this sort of personality and this one's got this sort of personality and they seem to be okay together. Because if they don't work well together, you're going to have disaster on your hands.
Yeah. It's part science, part art, I think.
Part ripping your hair out.
Yes, plenty of that.
Yeah.
And I think there's always going to be a bit of that, because it doesn't matter how experienced you are humans and they're unpredictable, and it's a hard job.
I think I once said to my husband, I think this was in the early days when I was having some staffing issues. Yeah. I said to him, you know, I can deal with kids and screaming babies and poo nappies and I can deal with companies doing the wrong thing and freight not being delivered on time. I can deal with all that sort of pressure. But managing human beings is the most difficult job I've ever had to do.
Yeah. I hear you. it's doable, but it's a challenge. Yeah,
it is very challenging.
So you've had quite a diverse background. You've done lots of different types of businesses, and you find yourself thriving in the beauty industry. So I know that you've got some really great tips from your experience that you're going to share with us today. So please give us your first piece of your wisdom.
I hope it's wisdom. It's more like my experiences. But I found what helps me is the most important thing for me is to write every single thing down. I'm so anal about this that I've even developed my own management workbook for my salon. And it's something that's grown organically from pretty much day dot. And I still add to it and take things away, and it's still refining it. But it's like our safety net, because we've got our software management system, which is our bookings and client information and all the rest of it. But there are so many other things that the booking system just can't cover, which is, you know, your day-to-day interaction with your staff. Simple things like, you know, switching wax pots on, and I don't want to go into the nitty-gritty, but, you know, it's all these little things that we just can't take for granted. Because I found myself in a situation in the early days where I was doing pretty much everything and my staff were just walking in and servicing clients, and I thought, who am I working for? Am I working for my staff? They should be working for me.
Yeah.
So I then started writing everything down and creating my processes. And I guess lots of people call them manuals or policies and procedures. And I just call it a workbook, because I think when you start using that sort of terminology, and I don't know about the hairdressing industry, but in beauty, the girls are really bright. But when you talk to them in terms of policies and procedures, it just glazes over them. They look at you like, oh, boring, 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 boring. And they just don't listen. So the workbook sits on my reception desk. It's a book that I've put together, compiled it for my salon, and it has everything from switching the lights on in the morning to, you know, doing an antivirus software check once a week or however often we do it. You know, everything. It just covers every single thing, down to our end of day reconciliations of our FPOS and cash and blah, blah, blah. It's got everything in there. And so when it comes time to me doing my end of month reporting, I just grab that book. All my FPOS receipts are in there for the whole month. Refunds, you know, all my information that I need for even just bookkeeping is all in that one space. Customer complaints, product orders, everything. I've just compiled everything in there. So writing things down, just getting, you know, I'm like a crazy person in my head, like I've got a million things going on. And it helps me to just take all of that out of my brain onto a piece of paper, and then I can sort of prioritize. And that way I get stuff done. So that's my very first tip.
You're a girl after my own heart, because I am much the same. everything has a tick list or a step-by-step or a process, and it feeds on to the next thing when I had my salon. And it's the only way that I could keep on top of not just everything, but everyone. I must say I do it also now as well. I'm a little bit less structured myself. I love to create systems. I hate to follow them.
But I sound like me. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. And I love to create a structure and create a flow process and do the step by step. But yes, getting me to follow it is another process. So I have my amazing assistant, Nicola. I give her full permission to chase me when I don't follow procedure. But I've created like the my procedure.
Yeah, my 2IC is much the same. But it gives you peace of mind. That's what it gives you. And I've gotten this book to such a level that I think I'm looking at developing it further so that I can open it up to other salons so that they can use it as well, because I think not everybody thinks the same, and sometimes it's nice to see how other salons operate. I know in the beginning I was craving that, and I was looking all over the internet for something, and there was very limited stuff out there. So yeah, that might be business number two.
Yeah. Well, I must have you come and be a guest in the Salon Owners Collective Hub, because that's exactly what that provides, the structure or the resources. So maybe you might come and be a guest expert for us.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, great. All right, you've got some other good experiences to share. What's your tip number two?
Okay, so I think the other thing that, you should always be mindful of is the fact that you can only control yourself, that you can't control others. And this translates in your everyday life as well as in business. You can control your staff to a certain degree, but you can't control what's happening to them in their lives. So, they could come to work having had a bad day at home, or you could get stuck in traffic this morning. It took me 2 hours to get to work. There's an accident on the M1, and these things happen. You can't let it get you down. You just have to focus on what you're able to do in your capacity. So I guess my point is, don't sweat the small stuff. You can't control what's happening around you. You can only control what you're doing and what you're putting out in your business and in your life. So yeah, that's a big thing, because if your mind is in the right frame of then you're thinking positively, and you won't let little things get you down. So I could have easily been really frustrated. Well, I was frustrated sitting in traffic, to be honest. But, I didn't let it get me down. I didn't let it affect my entire day.
Yeah. Because 2 hours out of your well-organized, structured day is actually a disruption.
It is a disruption. But what can you do apart from finding a helicopter and getting to work that way? Everybody's in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. We're stuck, So,
Okay. So, yes, managing what it's managing the conversation inside your own head, isn't it? Yeah. And how you're choosing to behave. And I mean, I know I come across this often, this conversation I have in my own mind, managing my children, for example. I have to have a chat. I have a wee chat with myself, and I can only control the way I choose to react to things. So I think it's not only a business tip, it's a good life tip. Thank you. All right. Tell us your third tip.
Okay. So my third one, comes from experiences that I've had, and I think it translates really well into our industry being hair and beauty, is that you should always treat people the way you would like to be treated. So I'll tell you a little story about what happened to me. There was a time when I was earning quite well. I was working for a company. I had a day off, and I wanted to get a facial. I just dropped the kids at school, and I was in my tracky dacks, quite daggy. and I walked into a salon to make a booking for myself for later that day. And I wasn't treated very well. And I wondered if it was the way I was dressed, that affected the way the receptionist had treated me. Nevertheless, I went ahead and I had the facial. It was actually a microdermabrasion. Lovely girl. She was an Islander girl that treated me. She was really good at what she did, but she was cold. She didn't have any warmth about her. She was not friendly enough to, you know, build a conversation with me. And I wanted to know, because I had a bit of a breakout. I've always had problem skin, had a bit of a breakout, and I heard about microdermabrasion, and I was wondering, you know, whether it would help my skin or not. She gave me zero information throughout the treatment, even before and after. And I was ready to spend. I was ready to buy product because I wanted to fix what I thought was, you know, a bad situation with my skin. And I always think back to that, and I say to my girls when I'm training them that don't ever assess a person or think you know them, because you don't know their background. You don't know how much is in their bank account. You don't know what their intentions are and what they're trying to get out of the service. But if you deliver the service in a friendly warm manner, the client will just gravitate towards you. And so everything you tell them is going to help you to not just retain them as a client, but also retail product to them. And I think that client therapist or client stylist relationship is built on that one thing. You know, I had a staff member who looked a person up and down very early when I just opened in the first few months, and really wasn't very pleasant in dealing with her, but she wanted to do quite a few services. I actually stepped in and I took over, and I booked the client in, and I actually delivered the service to the client. And to this day, this client ended up being a local New Farm resident, not the wealthiest woman in, by far not the wealthiest woman in New Farm, and New Farm is a wealthy area. And she dresses pretty scruffy and all the rest of it, but she knows everyone. Yeah. And as a result, she has word of mouth has, this is how it works. You know, you give somebody a beautiful experience and then they tell everybody. But if I had let my staff continue in the vein that she was, she probably would have given this lady a mediocre to maybe unpleasant experience, and she may have never returned, and she would have told others about it. So, you know, in life and in business, you treat people the way you would like to be treated. So I give 150%, 200% customer service to my clients, and they love me. When the days I'm not there, they'll ask, where's Anina? Isn't she in today? Is she busy? You know, and they ask about you because they fall in love with you. They want to be your friend. And that's how you build relationships.
I so agree. You know, it's not judging a book by its cover, but doing your best regardless, because you don't know who's hiding underneath.
Yeah, that's right.
Underneath those trackies.
I always tell my girls, this is something they hear me saying a lot, and they're so used to it that they just laugh now. But I always say to them, for every person that walks into the salon, as far as I'm concerned and as far as you're concerned, that is the queen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Treat her like the queen, because that queen pays your wages. So, you know, you have to really treat people with dignity and respect, and you reap the rewards after that. Who likes to go into a salon and have cold shoulders and people look you up and that? Nobody likes that.
No. It's funny you say the queen. I had the queen at our dinner table. My mother always said, would you eat like that if the queen was at the table? That's so funny. I mean, and you can guarantee that the day that you put on your best clothes and you've got your makeup on and you're looking absolutely amazing, you will see nobody. But the day that you wear your trackies and you haven't done your hair and you just pop to the supermarket for a second, everybody will be there. I mean, this is just the way it goes.
Old high school friends and everyone.
I know. That's right. Yeah. Okay. That's a great lesson. I think that's vital. And I suppose the challenge then is to get your team on board with that thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So when you're training your staff, you know, talk in this sort of language so that you instill this, and I think it's part of the work ethic, that having that respect for your client is part of your work ethic, because if you don't respect the people that are paying, you know, your bread and butter, like, who else would you respect?
Yeah. Do you know, and it comes down to the simple things about even how you talk about your clients when you're in the back room or you're away from clients, you know, and not actually going, oh, bloody Mary, she's always late, or I don't know, whatever the gossip, the backroom gossip is, if that's not respectful, it's not going to come through in the relationship with the clients, right?
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. And I had a problem staff member, which is not with me any longer, but she, you know, she was with me in the first few months, who used to, it was like every second word in the tea room was the F word. Yeah. And, you know, everyone likes to drop the F-bomb every now and then, but you can't have it as part of your language because it'll come out when you're talking to your clients.
Yeah.
And I had to pull her aside and I had to say, you know, you've got to watch your tongue. We're all ladies here. I understand if you're having a bad day, that's understandable, but, you know, just tone it down a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Those staff.
We love them. We love
them. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, look, as we work towards wrapping up, I'm keen to hear a quote or a mantra or something that's kept you going as a serial entrepreneur, obviously. What's something that that you go back to often?
I don't know if it's a mantra, but my father is kind of like my rock, my little, my cheerleader. He's always been on the sidelines saying, you can do anything you set your mind to. And he's always been encouraging. And one of his things that he always said to me was, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. I'd say to him, oh, you know, I was thinking about doing this sort of advertising, blah, blah, blah. And then he'd just look at me and say, what are you afraid of? Just do it. If it doesn't work, try something else.
Nice.
So don't be afraid. He gave me that courage. And I think everybody needs that cheerleader in their lives, or cheerleaders, whether it's a best friend, husband, boyfriend, business partner, whatever. You need people standing on the sideline, cheering you on, giving you courage, giving you support. And I think it's not so much a mantra, but for me, it's what keeps me going.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome. Yep. Okay, what about a book or a webinar or a podcast or a website or something that you go to often or you've learnt from that you know that other salon owners will benefit from?
Well, I obviously go to your Facebook page quite a bit.
You're good.
I listen to a lot of your podcasts. But I love Tim Ferriss. I love his book, The 4-Day Work Week. A lot of people would have already heard about it or read it already. I think I've read it probably 5 times now. And every single time I read it, I get something different out of it. So that one's really good for business, for organizing yourself.
Not to be afraid to not to have to hold on to everything.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't have to do everything that everybody else is doing. You know, like he talks about a virtual assistant. Like some people would just have a mental breakdown if they gave their bank account details and all the rest of it to a virtual assistant in India, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I haven't tried that yet, but, you know, that's something that he did. But, and I just think, wow, like how much trust did he have to do that? But there are ways to, I guess, be in business and stay calm.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why I went and did that workbook. I was probably inspired by Tim Ferriss, but also I had to find a way to organize myself where I could keep myself sane.
Yes.
And still prosper.
Yes. I'm a big advocate for that. Delegate and automate. And, you know, if you need to do something more than once on a regular basis, you really should either delegate it or automate it. Particularly in a business leadership role, as the leader of your business, if you get caught up in process and bogged down in the daily operations, then who's out the front looking for new opportunities and pushing your business forward? So,
Exactly. Yeah,
I think that's actually a must read in today's environment and environment in particular. So what I'll do is I'll put the link to the 4-day work week by Tim Ferriss onto this episode page so you can find it easily. It's a great read. So yeah, good recommendation. Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your pearls of wisdom that are just your experiences, but they're actually pearls of wisdom. So you can take that one. I appreciate your time today. It's been really great having you on the show. And I know people are going to come and want to come and stalk you and see you where you're at. So why don't you tell us your dub and your Facebook pages?
Okay. So it's just Alabashe. It's newfarm/alabashe.com.au is the web page. But on Facebook, if you just search Alabashe, so it's Ellabache, Newfarm, you'll find our business page there. So there's a few things up there. My browser up there, you can have a look.
Fantastic. Look, thank you so much again, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Larissa. I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, there you have it. But before you go, I want to share the Salon Owners Collective Hub with you, the most powerful and supportive membership for salon owners who want to build a thriving, successful salon with more freedom and, of course, bigger profits. So the Salon Owners Collective is a resource and learning hub. It has everything that you need to run a salon and, of course, nothing that you don't. And it's there to leverage your time and grow your salon business at your own pace. So in the hub, you will discover all the ways that you can grow your team, attract new clients, and make space for you, finally some space for you, and get paid what you deserve, all for less than $3.50 a day, and that's less than the cost of your daily latte. Now, I have added three amazing bonuses for you. And so in the program, there is the Full Freedom and Profit Program. Also, a client attracting and marketing strategies for 2017 beyond program is in there, and my Attract a Rockstar Team training, all the how to, the what to, and when to of implementing the strategy. All three programs are added into the hub for you as a bonus. There are, of course, regular new trainings added. There are tools, templates, checklists that you can implement and put into your business straight away. Live monthly classes with Q&A, and I've got some awesome guests training that are already in there and some that are coming up going forward. There is the Ask Me Anything support and community that gives you the help that you need. There are no contracts. Cancel any time if it's not for you. I really would love you to join me, and I can't wait to see you on the inside.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes, or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.